Blog Talk Radio.
Ever been a people that make one step forward and two steps backwards, that would be our brothers and sisters of the scattered diaspora of Israel throughout the four corners of the earth, all because of the fact that we are under the curses spoken of in Deuteronomy 28 that are a result of Deuteronomy 28:68. But all praises be to the Most High, for we are in our final captivity, one day closer to the end of the Gentile rule, and one day closer to the restoration of our prominence, our heritage, our cultural status, and the time that we will be in our land. All praises to the Most High. Understand, Israel, that we won't be stepping backwards two steps pretty soon. And for those of you that love these commandments, 1 John, the third chapter, tells us, and you keep them, you're starting to understand that we don't have to step backwards, because according to Ecclesiastes 8 and 5, if you keep these commandments, you will not feel the evil that is upon this earth. Hell, Black Lives Matter, well, let me tell you something. Hebrew lives are all that matters, because that is the significance of the scenario. We are the people of the Most High. And when we do these studies on Wednesday nights, it's to reestablish our history that goes beyond the slave trade. The transatlantic slave trade takes you back to what they call the Dark Ages, before the Renaissance period. I am Elder V, your brother V, and you are listening to our midweek Bible lesson and study, which has been centered around the kings of Israel and Judah. And I'm trying to stay true to the script and to the narrative, because it's been a long study and lesson. We may have lost a little gas along the way, but we're going to keep bringing down and breaking down the history of our forefathers, the good and the bad, our original royalty and our legacy of how we chose a king, how we wanted a king, and the reasons why we wanted a king. Let me say this to you. It was never the Most High's intention for us to have a king lord over us, but we wanted it so bad. The book of 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, says this. Listen to our people, your cousins, hard-headed, stiff-necked, children of Israel. Yeah, that's right. Day-day and Nay-Nay, right around the corner, same people. Samuel told all the words of the Most High to the people who were asking him for a king. Verse 11, he said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots." Verse 12, "Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots." Verse 13, "He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants." Verse 15, "He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants." Don't that sound like some of these folks, you know, that want to be the head of every group or coordinated society gathering, community event that you know of, that want to get theirs off the top? This is the warning from the prophet to our people who want it so bad to be like the other nations and have somebody lord over them. 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter and the 15th verse. "He will take a tenth of your grain." Sound like your pastor, huh? "And of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants, your male and female servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys. He will take for his own use." The Lord told me to tell you to get that to me. That's what they'll tell you. "Pay your tithes. I can't counsel you. Take your 10% because that's your pastor." See, a lot of y'all got kings in your own little vicinity, domain, realm, area, community of your life. And it's turning out to be your pastor, your elder, your boss. We are just so swayed to have somebody over us. What has been is that is right now. They still exist today. Verse 18, "When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen. But the Most High will not answer you in the day when you say, 'Take us from this tyrant,' because you wanted it so bad." Verse 19, listen to your people. Our people, hard-headed, stiff-necked Hebrews that exist today, Verse 19 says, but the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. Somebody to rep us. Whoever's the flyest amongst us that has the best presentation looks the best. That's what we want. Somebody to look up to. Forget the fact that we have a most high Elohim that we can't see that is providing for us and feeding us and taking care of our needs, and an oracle directly through the prophets he's speaking to us. We want something we can see that we can relate to, because we want to be like what we envy the other nations, and that's what's gotten us into the predicament that we're in now. Verse 21, when Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Most High. The Most High answered and said, listen to them and go ahead and give them a king. Thus leading us into the lessons that we've been doing for the last couple of months on the kings of Israel and Judah, their rises, their falls, how they did good and they did evil, because they're nothing but men, not royalty. They have led and misled us into all of the captivities that we've been through, being captive by the Greeks and the Romans and the Persians, the Edomites, and so on. All of these captivities, and us being in the final captivity, America, because of these kings and the misleading, it was not to be so, but we wanted it so bad. So we studied today, and we will finish the kings of Judah. Today we'll talk about Jehoiachin and Zedekiah. And those were the final two kings of Judah, which represented the southern kingdom, because we do know there was a split after Solomon, who began to instill paganism, desecrate the temple, worship other gods, and made the Most High Elohim very upset and caused a split in the kingdom, the northern and southern. And we're still at odds today, like Bloods and Crips, fighting each other, can't get along. All because of the sins of our forefathers. Before we get into that, you are listening to, through thy precepts, kings of Israel and Judah, as I mentioned, I'm the preacher, Torah. And I want to thank you for having supported us and listened to some of our other broadcasts. We haven't done Straight No Chaser in a while because everybody seems to think they have the truth. And there's so much going on in our world. I think the narrative is being played out right in front of our eyes. We're pretty much just seeing Bible prophecy being fulfilled. However, we will come back on a different day with a Straight No Chaser show that's important that I bring this show to you. It's very important. I want to bring to your attention, there's a young man I know who is a first responder for a lot of emergency events, and he wants to come on the show anonymously and bring forth some information that will solidify the fact, which is not a conspiracy theory, that a lot of these so-called terrorist attacks and these shootings are not as real as we think they are. And he's going to give us a lot of information that's probably going to blow your wig back, to help you to understand that what you're seeing is not really what's taking place. So I'm looking forward to doing that. I will get the information out. He's going to give you some information on why certain things aren't transpiring that's supposed to transpire after these so-called catastrophes take place, why there aren't so many lawsuits and cities and people being fired and heads rolling because of what is really happening. And I think you're pretty much going to be amazed, because we need to put to rest the conditioning that society has put upon us to think that everything is a conspiracy theory. We here at the Social Change Action Network are agenda analysts, and we analyze the agenda, but we know that we're living in a matrix where everything is a facade.
because there's a means to an end, because the whole earth has been turned over into the hands of the wicked. And one of the biggest lies on this planet is to keep the children of Israel, the people of the Most High, from knowing that we are the people of the book and who we are and our heritage is. Because you have Khazars, based upon Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9, that have stolen our identity and our culture, changed our language into Yiddish, used the Tetragrammaton to change our cultural spelling and understanding of our books, have found our books in jars in the Qumran caves in 1948 and still won't release the records of what the books say, because I'm quite sure they validate and vindicate us as a people. So these type of shows I want to bring out to you is just to shatter the falsehoods and the lies that you think have so much to do with truth that you take in from television and radio and media, which is 99% controlled by Zionists who hate us with a passion because they're trying to be us, because they want to be the chosen of the Most High. People look at our people and say, why? Those people, they hate you with a passion. But know that there's one who loves you, who will repeal back the curses and the captivity and will bring us back into our place. But as I've said with the kings of Israel and Judah, we must understand the mistakes that we and our forefathers have made in sinning against the Most High and not keeping his statutes, laws, and commandments, so that we will never consider doing it again. And that we will hold fast to these statutes, laws, and commandments. If you listen on the Sabbath, on the Shabbat, which is near and dear to my heart, I do lessons under the banner of Blueprint for Life. And these statutes, laws, and commandments are a blueprint on how the Most High, Ahayah, hallelujah, wants us to live our lives. It's the only way to live. If you're not keeping the commandments, you're not living. For the commandments are life. The book of Baruch, the fourth chapter, tells us he that keeps them has life. If you don't keep them, you don't have life. These commandments are a way to the tree of life. So if you get a chance, you tune in on the Sabbath, 10 a.m. Pacific time, to Blueprint for Life, where we teach these statutes, laws, and commandments, and how you can start to incorporate them into your everyday life here in this final captivity. All prayers going out to our people. Keep your head up. We're just now getting ready to get deep into Jacob's trouble. So what you're saying, don't let it get to you. Our people have to keep these laws and commandments. I understand the young lady in Baltimore being shot in front of her son, and kid was shot, killed. None of the officers being prosecuted. Hey, listen, they're not going to be prosecuted. You will not get justice in this time. You'll get justice when our brother and the Messiah returns. But those of you that want to be kept and have discernment, insight, and understand judgment and times and be protected, you've got to kneel down, bow down. And if you want to make change, because you are an activist, change the hearts and minds of the people and bring them back to the Father and bring them back to the commandments and cry out against the injustice that we do amongst each other and cause our people to stand up right and have integrity and character. And anybody else that does condemn us, trust, we do have a right to let them know. Isaiah 54 and 17 tells us that no weapon formed against us can prosper. They can't defeat us if we're keeping these commandments. But it goes on to say that every tongue that rises up against us, we shall condemn. So when they began to bring us down, those of you that have the truth have a right to speak out and let America know, and these other nations know, that we know who we are, what you've done to us, and what you're doing to us. And this travesty will not continue. We're not buying your lie anymore, and we are waking up. You have a right to do that, to stand up, let your voice be heard in that capacity. I'll leave it at that for right now. All praises to the Most High. So moving into this lesson, I'm not going to keep you long. Decided to do it a little bit earlier. Maybe you're listening in the archives. We're going to get into, as I mentioned, the final two kings of the kings of, kings of Judah. These are the final two for the kings of Judah. Most high willing, next week we will pick back up with the kings of Israel. All praises to the Most High. So we're going to start with a particular king by the name of Jehoiachin. And I'm going to go to 2 Kings, the 24th chapter, to give you more information about Jehoiachin. His name alone means the Most High will establish. Jehoiachin means Yah will establish. Unfortunately, Jehoiachin didn't establish nothing because he only reigned for a short time. 2 Kings, the 24th chapter, the 8th verse, tells us Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. That was a short reign. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And this is how you know how you're starting off, because immediately the writer begins to tell you, if they were coming back to establish these statutes, laws, and commandments that I just got through speaking of, and the necessity of having that in your life. It is so imperative that you have these statutes, laws, and commandments in your life. There's no other way to live. I'm on Jehoiachin, but I have to emphasize what I said earlier again. Ecclesiastes 8 and 5 tells you that keeping these commandments will actually heighten your discernment to be able to discern the times and the judgments. Who wouldn't want to keep the commandments? Psalms 19 and 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's a part of the conversion. Your heightened awareness of spirituality and spiritual forces so that you can have on the full armor. 2 Kings 24, Jehoiachin, the 9th verse tells us immediately off the top, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Most High, according to all that his father had done. Verse 10, at that time the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. Verse 12, and Jehoiachin, the three-month king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother. You know you got trouble right there if you got to go with your mama. He and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign, and he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord. He thought he was coming out in full force by walking out with his mother, his princes, and servants, and Nebuchadnezzar took him by force. And Nebuchadnezzar had only been reigning, as it mentioned, for 8 years. He took everything from him, not only him in verse 13, but everything out of the temple of the house of the Most High. And he took the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold, which Solomon, king of Israel, had made himself and put in the temple of our Elohim. You know, brothers and sisters, we have today a lot of our gold, and you know, everybody speaks good of Gaddafi, but Gaddafi had tons of gold that he had hidden and some other secret artifacts that belonged to us, that America and some of these other nations wanted to take from him, because not only was he getting ready to destroy the dollar, but he was getting ready to trade oil for gold and create a new currency for Africa. But I say this to tell you this, that if you read Psalms 83 and the nations are confederate against us, you need to understand this, because once Israel went down, all the other nations became rich and they took our riches. Solomon was one of the richest men in the kingdom and wise. If you ever read from Lost Tribes, you'll find out that Solomon was right underneath Mansa Musa, who was one of the richest black men and the richest men in this world ever. But they have stolen our riches and our gold and our vessels and our jewels, and it's been dispersed amongst all the nations. Gaddafi had tons of gold, and it's been purported, the reason I bring this up, that he had a lot of the gold that came from Solomon's temple, that he had got his hands on that. That's why I said, don't listen to the media and the news. You're hearing nothing but lies. You won't get news until you study the word, first of all, get discernment, and can start to read between the lies. So we see here, Nebuchadnezzar goes in and immediately takes everything out of the temple and starts to spread it and disperse it. All praises to the Most High. When we're restored back in our land, we're going to be restored with our riches. The Ark of the Covenant will be back there, and there'll be so many things there that will belong to us. Nonetheless, let me continue reading about Jehoiachin, the 13th verse. In verse 14, it says, and he carried away all Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar took all of Jerusalem. Now, let's not forget how this three-month king started. Verse 9 said, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Most High. He came in, more than likely came back in, instituting paganism, as many of his forefathers and previous kings had did. They had a knack to still want to worship. And this is the funny part. The king still had a knack to still want to worship something that was made by hands and worship fallen angels and false gods that we were destroying, and it couldn't keep them, but they still wanted to worship these fallen angels and false gods because they wanted to be like the other kings and other nations because they thought that's what got them power. And the funny thing is that our people wanted to be like other nations and have a king, and then the king we would instill wanted to be like the kings of the other nations and worship other gods and not do as the Most High told us as a people to do. Worship him and him only and keep my statutes, laws, and commandments. And we have a plethora of kings that came in and forsook the statutes, laws, and commandments. If you go back into the archives, you'll hear some of the ones that I mentioned that did good. And there was only a few that did good. The majority of them did evil in the sight of the Most High. So let me continue. Verse 15, and he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land. Those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000 and craftsmen and smiths and thousands, all that were strong and apt for war, even them, the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead and changed his name to Zedekiah. So he took control, because we're going to go into Zedekiah. He took all of Jerusalem and instilled it into Babylon and controlled all of them within his realm. So they were all up under his captivity. So there you have it of what actually took place. For 3 months, Jehoiachin came to throne just as Nebuchadnezzar was arriving at Jerusalem. And after a three-month siege, he was taken captive to Babylon. Judah kept hoping for his return. And after 37 years in prison, he was freed, but he never returned to Jerusalem. And that leads us right into Zedekiah. Let me give you some information on Zedekiah, because as we just read in 2 Kings 24 and 17, the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, changed Mattaniah's name to Zedekiah. Now, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. Instead of reading 2 Kings 24 to give you the background on Zedekiah, I'm going to read 2 Chronicles 36 and 11 through 16. Zedekiah means, that name alone means Elohim is righteous. Ahayah is righteous. Zedekiah was 21 when he began to reign. And he reigned for 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Most High, our Elohim, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who would have been his uncle, I believe, who had made him swear by the Most High. But he stiffed his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Most High of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Most High, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Most High of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up quickly and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, the temple. 2 Chronicles 36, 16. But they mocked the messengers of Ahayah and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. So his wrath, they mocked. He had mercy on them, sent his prophets to get them out of the trouble they were in, but they mocked every one of the prophets that came to warn them. Now I'll go back into 2 Chronicles, 2 Kings, the 25th chapter. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his hosts, against Jerusalem and pitched against it. And they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. So he said, Nebuchadnezzar said, so you want to not do what I told you to do and rebel against me, and I control your region? Okay. So they pitched tents around Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month of the month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread that they can get into the city of Jerusalem that Zedekiah was ruling for the people of the land, and the city was broken up. And all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain, and the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. And then they put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Most High, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city, and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon, with the remnant of the multitude, did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. But the captain of the guard left the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen, and the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases, and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon. And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away, and the fire pans and the bowls and such things as were of gold in gold and of silver in silver the captain of the guard took away, the two pillars, one sea, and the basses which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the brass of all these vessels was without weight. The height of the one pillar was 18 cubits, and the chapter upon it was brass. And the height of the chapter, 3 cubits, and the wreathen work and pomegranates upon the chapter were round about, all of brass. And like unto these had the second pillar was wreathen work. And the captain of the guard took Sariah the chief priest, and Zephaniah the second priest, and the three keepers of the door. And out of the city he took an officer that was set over the men of war, and five men of them that were in the king's presence, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, which mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the city. And Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote all of them and slew them in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land. And then it goes on to let you know that Gedaliah became the governor of Judah and was over them. And it came to pass, I'm going to go to verse 27. Came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spake kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate every day, all the days of his life. So Jehoiachin spent 37 years in prison. And then after Zedekiah reigned for his short steed, he was destroyed, killed. Jerusalem was destroyed. They let Jehoiachin out of jail and let him sit in the king's chair, paid him a stipend every day. So he found repentance and restoration, and his honor was restored. But Zedekiah that did evil never came back to the ways of the Most High, cursed the prophets, never kept the commandments, had our people destroyed. This is why it grieved the prophet Samuel and our Elohim, the Most High, so much when we said we want a king, because he knew all of the things that would befall us that have put us also still in the predicament that we are in today. These are the stories and the ups and downs of the kings of Judah and Israel, which are our forefathers. And if we don't learn from the mistakes of our past, we're destined to repeat them. It is for us to pray for the sins of our forefathers, but to come back to the commandments so that we find ourselves in the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 as opposed to the curses of Deuteronomy 28. It's 400 years for us to be in this captivity, that we might know, learn, and never repeat the past. However, 2/3 of our people will be destroyed, but there will be a remnant, and the remnant will be sealed in their foreheads. And we will reign with our brother Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, forever. So let us grow and learn by these things. With that being said, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. But truth is a journey and not a destination. I am Elder B. May the Most High bless and keep you until we meet again. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Isaiah 6:8. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me.